Welcome to the In Hope
Podcast.
I'll do it.
Come okay. on.
Go ahead, Avery.
Welcome to the podcast.
Is that how I sound? Is that how I sound? Welcome to the In Hope Podcast, where each Monday we drop a new episode talking about how we can strengthen the unity of the body of Christ.
I remember when Pastor Joel said that unity would be the fruit.
Yeah, exactly.
And I loved that he said that because if we are putting in everything that Christ told us to do, it would reflect a unified body. Yep. But I also
it's the result of all the other stuff that they talked about, you know, throughout the podcast. That was one of the things he said at the end.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's so profound.
And I loved that. I wanted him to push further.
Yeah, so this is the thing. I mean, thinking about that, right? If unity is the result, if unity is the fruit, and we do not have that fruit, what does that say?
I mean that we're not unified.
No, I mean, not just that we're not unified, but it means that we're lacking some of those things that lead towards that.
So, and they were, because I wrote them down.
Yeah.
Seeking God.
Come on now.
Building relationships.
Come on now.
And equipping saints for ministry.
Absolutely.
And then Nathaniel said, like, they work in tandem.
Absolutely.
It's like, so if you're not seeking God, then you can't equip the saints for ministry.
Yeah.
And if you're not
You can't build
relationship. Then you're not equipping the saints for ministry, because they're not going to trust you.
No.
You know, to equip them.
Yeah. And if you're not equipping the saints for ministry, it's going to cut in on you seeking God and building relationships, because you're not going to have time for those things if you're trying to do all the ministry, right?
Yes.
And so it's...
And what I thought about then with that one was I thought that comes from a lack of trust.
Yeah.
And it comes from fear, because you feel like you have to do it all yourself because you can't trust these people to move out into what they feel God is telling them.
Right.
You know, to walk out their salvation.
And a lack of trust is likely because of a lack of relationship. And a walking in fear is because is a lack of walking in God's perfect love. Because First John chapter 4 says, his perfect love cast out fear. Again, I mean, it's this tandem, it's this cycle where if we're doing these things, if we are walking in the fruit of the Spirit, if we're walking in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, you know, all those things, well, unity is going to come. Unity is going to be a byproduct of us walking in the fruit of the Spirit. So if we're not seeing unity, we need to ask ourselves, are we walking in the Spirit? Are we producing that fruit? Are we doing these things? Are we seeking God? Are we spending that time in prayer? I am so grateful that Pastor Dusty was emphasizing this idea that it has to start with prayer. It's not going to happen without prayer.
Pastor Joel did too.
Right? It's just, it's not going to happen. And that's one of those things that even when you're looking at the missionary pathway, and I know this may be foreign language to some people, there's something called a missionary pathway. And this is the idea of every believer being a missionary, and how do we walk in mission? And guess where that starts? With extraordinary prayer and fasting. That's where it starts. You have to start with prayer and fasting. If you get ahead and you're not walking in the prayer and fasting, then even some of these things that we've been talking about, like this idea of having accountability rather than accusation, that becomes really difficult. The first image that came to my mind when we're talking about accountability versus accusation is the prophet Nathan and David. Because you talk about somebody where it's like, you know God, you should know better. David, right? Prophet Nathan comes in and he knew. He walked in there knowing exactly what he needed to say and how he needed to say it in order to get through to King David. That did not happen without prayer. I don't think the prophet just woke up and was like, you know what? This is exactly how I'm going to talk to him. This is what I'm going to say. He spent time in prayer before approaching that king. He was a prophet Nathan. He likely had a life of prayer, and that just was able, that made it possible for him to bring a loving accountability to King David. Because you see, even in that, when he confronts King David, not only did he confront him, but he said, this is what God says. So obviously he was talking to God, right? He didn't just come in there of his own willy-nilly being like, y'all, you sleeping with Bathsheba, right? You wrong. No, he spent time in prayer. And you know what's funny about that? He didn't need to spend time in prayer to know that David sleeping with Bathsheba was wrong.
He had to spend time in prayer for how to approach
it. He was mindful enough to think, to pray about, how am I going to approach this?
It's funny, because when we were talking, when you were talking about, you know, how you approach a friend, I was thinking about when I was a new Christian, I got locked into a young singles group, you know, people that were in like college and career part of life. And I remember my pastor, like one of my first pastors in that ministry, talking about confronting a brother about things going on with them. And he talked about seeking God and spending an extra amount of time in prayer before you approach a brother.
That's wisdom.
About whatever. And it's humble.
Yeah. Right. I feel like sometimes we want to go in guns blazing, and we're even talking about this, like, with, and this is where it's most hurtful, is on public platforms, social media, public platforms. When you have people who have public platforms and they're accusing, pointing fingers, saying things about other professed Christians, whether we know they're walking with Christ or not, we don't know, right? Like, we can't be the judge of that. Jesus is that judge. And so, but there's other professed Christians, and we're pointing the finger and we're saying things about them. Again, another quote, Ignatius. So Ignatius, he was a first century disciple of the Apostle John. And he said that where disunion and bad blood exist, God can never be dwelling. Where disunion and bad blood exists, God could never be dwelling. When we look at these public platforms, we have this issue of people who are professed Christians pointing fingers at other professed Christians, and it causes this disunion and disruption within the body of Christ. And I think we really need to pull back on that, because I doubt we're spending time in prayer about how are we going to hold this brother accountable. How are we going to touch, you know, reach out to and minister to this brother? Rather, we're going in guns blazing and we're just putting it out there, and we're not even talking to them. We're hoping that they see it, is what we're doing. We're hoping that they see it. We're hoping that lots of people see it. Because if you weren't wanting lots of people to see it, you wouldn't put it on a public platform. Come on now. Don't be like, I'm putting this out here, but this is really just for one person. No. Like, no.
Because you can go to the others.
Right? Because you can sit, DM them. All right? DM them. Right?
And
this is the thing. No, it's the thing. If you can't DM them, if you think they're going to reject your DM, then you aren't the one to talk to them.
I was going to say, to be fair, some of them do DM them first.
Yeah.
But they don't receive a response.
And they don't receive. It's not on you then. It's not on you. Like, let someone who is in their circle deal with that.
And if you're approaching it wrongly, do you think you're really going to change their mind?
Exactly. Like, do you think their salvation rests on you talking to them? Do you?
Yeah.
Like,
okay, so
you can go to prayer on that and let God get to them. Because if God wants to say something in their ear, He doesn't need you to do it over a public platform.
Because
He may not need you to do it at all.
Yeah.
I want to play devil's advocate.
I don't like him. But you can advocate the truth. Let's.
No, it's kind of a question.
I know.
It's
a,
when you have a public platform,
yes.
I don't have one. So this is more curiosity, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. When you have a public platform, could they not feel a responsibility to say something regarding certain things that other people on public platforms have said because they feel like I need the people who follow me and trust what I have to say to know I don't subscribe or buy into that thought process, that whatever it is that someone's saying. So say it's hard to do it without examples, and I don't want to put.
Let's do this because we want to put, and we're gonna make a fake example because I don't want to put again. We don't want to put anybody on blast. So let's say there was Sweet Cheeks podcast, right? Sugar Cheeks podcast. That's my love's podcast. All right.
No.
So okay, we'll do another fine. She's a little embarrassed of the name. So we'll do what is it? We'll just do like we'll say it's
Cozy Time.
Cozy Time. We'll just do Cozy Time, right? So let's say Christina has a podcast named Cozy Time, right? And let's say we're not married for this example, right? And then I come up here on the NHO podcast and I'm saying something ridiculous, like I don't know, throw some type of blasphemous thing out there, right? I'm leading people astray. Cozy Time. Feels like, is that what we called it? Cozy Time? It doesn't matter. Yeah. Cozy Time, y'all know who I'm talking about. They now know that there are other people listening to this podcast, and they even have some of their own followers that listen to this podcast and have sent her links saying, oh, you got to listen to this, or like, what do you think of this, and whatnot. So let's go from there. I've said something blasphemous. I'm leading people astray.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like you saying that Chick-fil-A is more holy than In-N-Out.
Yeah, let's do this. Let's do this, right? Let's do this. Because this can be a debate, right? And I'll stand by this. Chick-fil-A. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We shouldn't do that. We love them both.
Yeah.
But Chick-fil-A's better. Go ahead.
See, but that's... I feel like that's not okay. So anyway, my question would be, would I not have
a responsibility
to then... say, this is how I feel toward
my statement of Chick-fil-A being better than In-N-Out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I don't want to lead you astray.
Yeah.
Especially if it's someone I have pointed you to before.
Yeah.
Like, hey, check this guy out. He's got an awesome podcast. And then you're saying crazy stuff.
Yeah. Like.
And
which I don't feel like this qualifies as crazy, but we're gonna use this as an example because this is truth. Chick-fil-A is better than In-N-Out.
See, and I can't support
this. See, she can't support this. Okay, see, this is perfect. Okay.
So I feel like that's my question. Like for that conviction, a responsibility to say, I've sent you to this person before, so now I want to say, like, I do not support what they're saying. I do think it's weird that people, if you recommend channel, podcast, whatever, to somebody, that you then assume everything this person says I agree with, because that's very rarely true in any relationship ever, that you agree 100% with everything that person says.
Exactly.
So I feel like critical thinking skills would tell you there's gonna come a time where this person and the person I follow disagree. Yeah,
disagree. Exactly.
But it just seems like now it's, you told me to go over this.
But now your listeners, but now your listeners need to know, and they need you to tell them whether Chick-fil-A is better than In-N-Out.
No.
Exactly. Exactly. They don't.
You basically answered your own devil's advocate question, though, which is like people need to think for themselves.
I agree. But do you feel like there is a responsibility?
There's a pressure
on the platform holder to put out a statement, which I feel like is a hot topic debate right now for people with platforms in general, not just the church.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is a common debate on whether or not you have a responsibility to say something or not, because we've all heard the bystander, right? Yeah. Like, innocent by that. So there is a point in time where I would say, if I'm watching a crime right in front of me, someone getting taken advantage of right in front of me, and I say nothing, did I have a responsibility to say something or not?
Yeah.
which Nathaniel and I have actually oddly been in the position of. We came out of a theater and saw, we're not sure. Okay. It just seemed like, it seemed like someone might be stealing a car.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so we, okay. Nathaniel and I had two different reactions because I'm a mama bear. I was like, get away from this car because this guy saw us get in our car and it's weird. The alarm was going off and he's seeming like he's trying to drive away. And I was like, that's weird to be driving your car away while the alarm is going off. That's weird. So Nathaniel's like, I need to call the cops because this looks suspicious. And I'm like, get away from this car because I have my children in this car and I don't want this person to see us or our kids.
Yeah.
So we had two different reactions, but both of us felt like something needed to happen. So I told him, drive to the other side and then call. And so we don't know what came of that, right? Like, it's just, we just left it with the police at that point. And it could have been that this guy was just having issues with his alarm, to be fair. Do we have a responsibility to say something?
Absolutely.
And then does that also translate over into the world of having a platform with maybe it's 10 followers, maybe it's millions of followers. Yeah. Do you have a responsibility to tell your 10 or your millions that I don't agree with this?
With Chick-fil-A being better than In-N-Out. Okay. If it's a crime, absolutely call the cops. You're paying your taxes for it. So let's use your tax money. All right. Call the cops. Now, if it's a disagreement about whether Chick-fil-A, and again, this is an example, Chick-fil-A better being better than In-N-Out. Both of them are great, highly support and ask you to go visit both. But let's just say Chick-fil-A is better because it is. With that being the case, and you're like, you're getting DMs, you're getting people making comments, sending you links saying, hey, you need to, you know, I'm not sure. What do you think about this? Blah, blah, blah. And, you know, this is really troubling me. Well, what do I do? And you feel a burden. Maybe you feel some pressure from this, right? Cause people are saying that maybe you should say something. You should say something. You should say something. You should say something. I want to go back before going too far. I want to go back to this idea of what does it mean for the body of Christ to be strong? So strength is the ability to either exert or withstand pressure. Strength is the ability to either exert or withstand pressure. And when you think about that, let's think about it in the image of somebody doing a bench press, right? It's their ability to withstand, like hold it up and not let it fall, or to exert, meaning they're actually going to push and move that weight, right? So you see it in both ways, whether you can withstand something that's wanting to move or you can move that object. And when it comes to something like this, you are withstanding pressure at this point. When people are saying you need to say something, you feel pressure to say something, to address this issue. This is a matter of withstanding pressure, right? And I'm not saying that this is always, you always want to just withstand the pressure. Sometimes you want to exert, you want to move it. But I want to keep the goal in mind. When it comes to the bench press, we're talking about moving that bar.
Isn't it both?
Yeah. It is. You are standing and exactly, right?
Poking you.
Yeah, yeah. So it's going to be both. So at times you're going to withstand and at times you're going to exert, right? And then so with the bench press, the goal is to move that bar. What you're withstanding or exerting pressure on is that bar. With the church, it's discipleship. The pressure of whether you're able to withstand pressure from society, withstand pressure from people, whether you're able to withstand the pressure of something trying to stop you from being a disciple maker, or to exert pressure and make disciple makers, you know, against odds and against, you know, when it's difficult to disciple that person, being able to push through and do that. So I just want to keep, I wanted to come back to that because I feel like with this example, you're going to have pressure from the audience, from your subscribers, from the crowd saying, we want you to address this. We want you to address this. We want you to address this. And I want us to keep in mind whether or not addressing this is going to really help the church make disciples.
That's good.
Which is the only part that matters. And how you address it also is going to matter. Again, looking at the prophet Nathan, how he addressed David's failure mattered when it came to David growing as a disciple.
I feel like that's a great example because he helped him come to his own conclusion.
Exactly.
Without telling him, this is how it should be. Yeah. This is what I think.
Yeah.
He was like, let me give you a scenario so you can. Because I feel like I would respect more an influencer who said, I've had a lot of people telling me to address this issue. But what I think isn't going to help you come to a conclusion if you're just piggybacking off of everything I say.
Exactly.
So rather than that, I'm going to teach you the different ways that I come to a conclusion.
There we go.
And point to scripture.
Yeah.
And point to whatever accountability and the different. Yeah. The different ways that you come, that you use critical thinking skills, that you think for yourself and learn how to communicate that and come to a final conclusion and all of that.
Yeah. And we can address, and again, we're just using this topic as an example, Chick-fil-A being better than In-N-Out, right? The Cozy podcast can address that issue and even voice disagreement or say that they think In-N-Out is better without going to the point of no. The In Hope podcast has lost their salvation. They're not really Christian. They're trying to deceive people. No, we just disagree. Like, we disagree on this point. And that doesn't mean that they're not Christian. That doesn't mean that they're not trying to follow Jesus. But
they just make me cook on the Sabbath.
We're just disagreeing on this point, right? And the Sabbath is Saturday. So, Chick-fil-A is better than In-N-Out. And if you think In-N-Out is better than Chick-fil-A, you know what? You can eat your In-N-Out and I'll eat my Chick-fil-A and we can sit on the same bench together, praising Jesus and thanking him for In-N-Out and Chick-fil-A.
Except on Sunday, you're going to be fasting while I...
And on Sundays, we'll both share In-N-Out, all right? There we go. So, I think on those platforms, we just need to be careful. We need to be cautious, and we should be very hesitant to demean, speak ill of other believers. As Stringfellow says in his 2018 article, Stringfellow says, where the church, what is the word he used? He uses like corrupts or disdains, something like that, where he rejects, denies or corrupts the gift of unity, where the church does that, our witness to the world is lost. Every single time we get on a public platform and we are denying, we are rejecting, or we are distorting, we are perverting, that's the word he uses, perverting the gift of unity, when we are we're making this look of disunity before the world, we are losing our witness to the world. So I ask again, is this us helping to strengthen the body of Christ? Is this helping us to make disciples? No. No, it is not. Did anybody else have anything that they wanted to add or say that we kind of reviewed some of our podcasts and touched on them, which was the goal for today? Okay, sorry. Start that again. Okay. You're reading what?
Galatians 5. You had mentioned being led by the Spirit. If you were led by the Spirit, you were not under the law. And then in the next couple of verses, it talks about some sins that are acts of the flesh, and it puts discord, which in my mind is the opposite of unity, in the same category as some pretty, I want to say big sins. I know all sin is the same, but just it's in the same category as these.
Yeah.
The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like.
There's three. There are three words in there that speak towards disunity. Did you notice that? Discord, dissensions, and what was the other
one?
And factions. Wow. Wow. Oh, okay. Something on this said that, I don't know where, I'm hoping that it caught everything, but something on my laptop said that the audio source disconnected.
And you don't know at what
point. And I don't know at what point, so I'll be going back and looking. We'll see what happened there. But with that being said, I want us to close off with just at least... 10 minutes here? Something that we do, one of the ministries we have in Hope is Widow's Well. And Widow's Well, this is a selfless plug, guys. Selfless plug here. And we want to talk about this just because I believe this is an example, and this is why Widow's Well is part of In Hope, is because this is an example of how we could come together in the body of Christ and really do something for the name of Christ and on behalf of the body of Christ, and not from selfish ambition or causing factions or disdain, but something that we can really do in unity. And so I want Jen to share a little bit about the heart of Widow's Well, because Widow's Well has come from Jen's heart. So, and I just want us to talk a little bit about it. So go ahead.
Thank you. So this was something that was totally from God, because it was not on my radar whatsoever. But a few years ago, I was reading, and the idea of widows just kept coming up over and over, either in Bible passages I was reading or in things I was watching or listening to. Mm. And the Holy Spirit just kept bringing it to mind and bringing it to mind. And
he echoes.
He does echo,
say.
For
he
sure.
Echoes.
And so, kind of long story short, Widow's Well is for single mamas and widows, and it is just to love on Christians and non-Christians alike in our community, either to, you know, help with a bill, or to, we have an annual Valentine's dinner for all of the widows and single moms.
Yeah.
And, Christmas gifts, just anything that you might need help with.
Yeah.
And we really, I know Pastor Nathaniel is really good to really want to build the body of Christ in that, where we want to connect those widows and single moms to a local church.
Yeah.
Because that's where they are going to get their discipleship.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be through Widow's Well. That's not what we do.
Yeah.
But if we can connect them to the local body and somehow, you know, join the two forces, then that's our desire. So
yeah, and really to do those things on behalf of a local church, right? So whether it's the dinners, it's paying a bill, it's I'm thinking of moving a washer and dryer.
How many times?
Right. If whatever it is that, you know, mowing a lawn.
We even hung Christmas lights for a
yeah,
mom.
Right.
Her husband had passed away, and she wanted to make it, you know, festive for her son that year.
Exactly. So just being able to do those things on behalf of a local church, so that it's not, you know, hey, look what Widow Well is doing for you. But Widow Well is helping make that connection. And this gift is going to happen on behalf of a local church, with the hope of there's a relationship form there between that widow or that single mom, so that they are being loved on by the hands and feet of Christ and connected to the body of Christ. And that's our desire. And so, with that in mind, I think some big things is, hey, we want churches to know that we are here to partner with you. Like, we want to partner with you in doing this. And we feel like churches, let's partner together in doing things like this. Widow's Well is an example, right? if widows are, you know, say there's an apartment complex and there's two churches that are equal distance from that apartment complex. And those two churches say, hey, let's love on this apartment complex together. Let's make sure that all the single parents in this apartment complex are taken care of. Widow Well is not going to be like, oh, we're not part of it. No. Like, no, like, let's, hey, let this just be an idea. Let's get together and say, we are going to love on these single moms. We're going to love on these widows together. We're going to make those connections. We want to help and be a part of that. But I think the big idea is that we can do so much more if we are working together as the body of Christ. There's Mission 17 is a great organization in which they are trying to do a lot of different things and dedicate time, effort, and energy that a lot of churches can't. They're trying to say, hey, we will dedicate this time, effort, and energy for you to see these things happen, to see advertisements happen, to put together different platforms that can help you and all these different kind of things. And In Hope and Widow's Well, especially, we're trying to do that when it comes to meeting the needs of single moms and widows. We just want to partner alongside you and say, hey, we will dedicate some time, effort, and energy where maybe you're unable to or make those connections. And we just want to help send some single moms and some widows your way. So is there anything we've kind of been talking about that just coincides with Widow Well, just to kind of close off? Anything?
I know I'm just in that?
Just well, and just kind of with the different podcasts that we've been going over and whatnot, I'm hoping we got everything.
Yeah.
that was a real good conversation. I'm hoping this mic didn't cut us off. This laptop didn't cut us off somewhere. But is there anything else? Any final thoughts, Lulu, Jen?
You were saying in relationship to Widow's Well?
Yeah, in relation to Widow's Well or what we were talking about with.
Well, I was saying, you know, what you were just saying about, I just remember someone saying, a pastor, that it's amazing the things that can get done when nobody is concerned about who gets the credit.
Oh, yes.
So, and he was talking about Convoy of Hope.
Yes.
Because that's all the churches that get together.
And yep.
He goes, oh, well, the Baptists did this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, the Episcopalians did this. You know what I mean? And Widow's Well is kind of like the vision that you have for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
It's that we all get together and it's not really about what we did. It's about the people we're serving. So
exactly.
So there is unity again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of Convoy of Hope, it'll be coming to the Treasure Valley in 2025. Again, that's one of those things that as In Hope, we are dedicating time to efforts and of things that are bringing the body of Christ together. So we are putting time, effort, energy behind that to make it happen and coordinating some of those activities for Convoy of Hope to come to the Treasure Valley in 2025. So we're looking forward to that. But thank you guys so much. This is likely going to be two episodes. I'm not sure which half you're listening to, at this. Well, obviously you'll be listening to the second half at this point. This will likely end up being two different episodes to close off this season. Like I said, it'll be 12 week seasons. But we will also have some bonus episodes in between. Right now I am opening up my phone because I know I wrote down some dates and I was going to go ahead and share them with you guys. I will likely edit all of this dead time out of me looking, or maybe I'll leave it in just so you guys can laugh. I probably should have had this. Oh, here it is. I got it. Here it is. Okay. So you'll have a bonus episode dropping on the 29th. The next season is actually going to kick off June 3rd. So look for a couple of bonus episodes. There'll be one towards the end of April, one in mid-May at least, if not more. And then we'll be kicking off our next season June 3rd through August 19th. All right, guys. So thank you so much for enjoying the In Hope podcast. Share, like, subscribe. Please pass the word on and let us know if there's a way that you guys want to be more involved with some of the things happening with InHope, visit the website, inhope.tv. We'd love to have you. And I'm going to throw this out there. We were talking about earlier, how discipleship happens in living life together. And Jesus literally walked with these people and they lived with each other. And it wasn't just meeting, you know, once a week or so for classes and whatnot. And I shared this with a couple of people. And so we'll see if something happens. But I'm going to throw this out here in case anyone hears this and says, you know what, that might be something interesting to take him up on. Who is that? Is that Amanda? Amanda! Come say hi. I was actually just going to say bye on the podcast. You want to say hi?
Hello.
So what's it called? So with that in mind, I've shared this with Christina and I've shared this with a couple of guys who run some ministries that could possibly make this happen. But I'm going to put this out there and let's see if we can make some connections here. And I'm going to offer a room here. I'm going to say this. I wholeheartedly believe that when it comes to having intentional discipleship, one of the best ways to have intentional discipleship is really to invite someone into your life. And this is a suggestion. I encourage people to take this up and run with it. Let's find some ministers who say, hey, I have an open room. Send somebody to live with me and follow me and just do what I do to assist me in everything that I'm doing. And I will intentionally just sow into them and they will just work alongside of me in ministry. So I'm going to offer myself to that. I encourage some other ministers to offer themselves to that. If you are interested in something like that, you want to make something like that happen. You know people. You know some young adults, some recent graduates or whoever it may be that you're like, man, if I could just get a year of intentional discipleship from a minister, I will take it. Hit us up. Hit us up. Go to inhope.tv. Send an email to info@inhope.tv. Give us a call, 208-402-8210, whatever it may be. But hit us up. If you're going to take up that call, I want to hear about it. Let me know. Let me pray alongside of you. And let's talk about how does this work? What does it look like? And let's see more and more ministers doing this to where they're just going to say, hey, we're going to bring somebody into our home. We're going to intentionally sow into them and they're going to assist us and really walk around with us. Let's see what happens there. I think that would be amazing. So closing off with that, you guys will hear bonus episodes coming out soon. Probably one from Amanda, where she's just going to do a solo episode. She's over here laughing. but you'll probably hear some bonus episodes. I know you will. Like I said, I gave you those, that mid-April and May, you'll hear a bonus episode before our next season kicks off on June 3rd. All right. So see you guys. Bonus episodes next season. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Anybody want to yell or something in the background? Woo! Thank you for joining us for the In Hope podcast. Please subscribe and share to make sure we can keep getting out more content like this. The In Hope podcast is a small part of the ministry of In Hope, which is dedicated to help strengthening the unity of the body of Christ. You can support us in this by visiting inhope.tv to donate and following us on Instagram. Thank you, and we hope to see you on Instagram and back next week for another episode of the In Hope podcast.